Today we have a new guest on the hot seat. He's making his debut, and it is the Minister of Advanced Education for the province of Alberta, also the Minister of Calgary, or the MLA for Calgary, Beau, Dimitrios Nikolaitis. And Minister, welcome. Great to have you on for the first time.
Thanks so much. Real happy to be on today.
All right. So I guess the first question is that obviously something that's been on the minds of a lot of people up here, and we know it's been a big consultation process, Skills for Jobs 2030. I think we could probably have like 3 hours or hours talking about it, but just tell us a little bit about the initiative, where you're at, and some of the good things you've learned along the way.
I'd be happy to. The foundation for the initiative was a realization that we don't have in advanced education and with our post-secondary community a long-range strategic plan. And I think that any kind of organization or integrated system needs some long-range goals and some strategic thinking. So we've been working over the course of the past year, most of 2020, to talk with our post-secondary presidents, students, employers, a range of different groups and organizations, and to try as best as possible, and you can imagine how challenging the task is. You have so many different voices and opinions, but as best as possible to build a common vision for the future of our post-secondary system. We're just about to wrap up that effort. I'll be bringing the final recommendations to Cabinet next week. And hopefully in early April, I'll be able to talk, to release the full strategy publicly. I can say that we are focusing on kind of five key priority areas, everything from strengthening access and improving the student experience to building skills for jobs. That is to say, making sure our students have the skills that they need to succeed when they graduate, to building the research and innovation capacity of our institution. So quite a significant effort. I've been so very appreciative of the incredible engagement from faculty members from across the province, our president, student leaders. It's been a tremendous experience working with everyone and building this plan.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, coming pretty close to the presentation part of it. So I guess one thing that I want to ask, and I know I've mentioned this with other ministerial colleagues of yours, and that is the fact that obviously due to the pandemic, we've learned that a lot of things could be done remotely. So in terms of that, I know one of the challenges up here is especially in the Peace Country, is that like universities and things like that aren't readily there. You can't drive down the street and get to school. So is there now, with what we've seen with the pandemic, and I guess how the office places have changed a lot, is there more of an opportunity you feel to bring the University of Alberta, the University of Calgary, or any of these colleges to these people here?
I absolutely think so. I think one of the silver linings of the pandemic has been this requirement to shift to online delivery almost overnight, and we've learned a lot of lessons in having to do that. And each one of our post-secondary institutions has had to kind of sink or swim when it comes to online delivery, and each one of them has successfully managed through that. They've gained a better understanding of how to operate in an online environment, how to deliver classes remotely, the challenges associated with that, everything from, you know, final exams and other assignments and how to manage through that. So it's been an incredible learning process. And I believe that we have to capture some of that learning and continue to use that moving forward. When we think about the future, we can reach many more people in all corners of the province, you know, including the Peace Country and other areas, by leveraging the technological strengths that we have. And so I think that we should certainly be learning lessons from this challenge and using that to help inform our strategy as we move forward.
Yeah, I know a few of your other ministerial colleagues, especially in justice as well, realizing as well that the pandemic has created opportunities for savings and bringing more access. And I know one of the things that was a concern up here to Northern Lakes College president and CEO Glenn Mitchell, and he seemed to express more of an optimistic tone when I spoke to him last month, and that was about the when it came to Skills for Jobs, there's an idea of this mega board or a super board that would govern all the post-secondary institutions. Is that something that's being considered?
Yeah, we're probably not going to go in that direction at the end of the day. You know, of course, when you're developing a 10-year, you know, strategy, you're looking at every dynamic, and one of the areas that we had looked very closely at relates to governance. So how are we governing our system? What kind of governance structure exists? We looked at other jurisdictions around the world to see how they do it, and to see if there's, you know, any lessons that we could learn. And one of the things that we did see was that many jurisdictions around the world and other provinces in Canada, and in fact Alberta was supposed to have something of this nature. They all had some element of a coordinating committee or higher education council that could help ensure that all universities and colleges are working together at the highest degree possible. And we didn't have that in Alberta. And so we looked at the full kind of range. You know, on the one end of the spectrum, you could kind of merge all board of directors of different universities and colleges into one, and have that single board run things. Or you can create, you know, a on the other end of the spectrum, a council or something of that nature, where every single institution participates in and has a voice. And so we've been looking at all the different options. I think one council to kind of manage all, or one board of governors to kind of manage all institutions might be a bridge too far. But we do have some ideas that I think we'll be able to move forward, that whether it's like a higher education commission or council that can help bring the post-secondary community together to operate more effectively, efficiently, and deliver better outcomes for all Albertans.
Now, Minister, this is something I'm taking as I look over the op-ed you wrote a couple of weeks ago, and this is one about, it kind of blew my mind a little bit, and that is how the University of Alberta and the Universities of Calgary, two universities here, stack up not just in Canada, but across the United States as well, North America as a whole, in terms of taxpayer-funded institutions on a per-student basis, and I found that quite remarkable. Do you think that maybe in some cases, not to necessarily say that you'd want to take away from that, do you think that maybe there could be some inefficiencies found there, at least on funding? Because I guess the big question is that if the University of BC and McMaster's and others can do it for less, can Alberta?
Yeah, and I think that that's precisely the point, and I think that we absolutely can. You know, I'll give you a quick comparison. According to I think it was 2018-19 figures, the University of Alberta was receiving approximately $600 million in funding from the provincial government, and their counterpart, the University of Toronto, was also receiving approximately around $600 million in funding from their provincial government. The difference, however, was that the University of Toronto has approximately 45 to 50,000 more students in their network. So it really does start to beg the question of, can we do things more efficiently? Why do we have such a higher cost environment? What kind of things can we change? And I have to commend the U of A as and all of our institutions. They completely recognize the financial challenges that the province is in. They're on board and realize that we all need to work together to address these financial challenges. And I know President Flanagan was mentioning the other day that this year alone, the University of Alberta, through a significant restructuring effort, anticipates that they'll be able to save $95 million from administrative expenses alone.
Wow.
So this is it's a massive restructuring effort. They're going from 19 faculties to three. So it's going to change the organization, but it's precisely the type of restructuring that can help us deliver more efficiently and ensure that we continue to have world-class institutions and continue to have a sustainable system.
All right, great. And I know one final question on this. And usually, what we do in the hot seat, we'll sometimes get into the personal questions and learn about your hobbies and things on the side. But I guess one of the last ones I have for you here, at least in terms of this, is like Northern Lakes College. I guess talking about our institution up here in our region, they have campuses everywhere, wide variety of programs, and you also see, like, I mean, a little bit further to the east, Athabasca, and they've kind of been doing their education model that way. I want to say since the 70s, at least in terms of distance education. We know the methods have changed, but do you see like the models that they use for like Northern Lakes College and Athabasca and those types of schools? Do you see those like becoming more prevalent?
I do. I think there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from institutions like Athabasca and Northern Lakes. And I am a huge Northern Lakes College fan and proponent, and a strong shout out to them. I was really impressed after being appointed as minister 2 years ago, and I visited the main campus there at Slave Lake. How their model really operates, and the fact that they have this scalable model of remote delivery, where they can, you know, dispatch mobile learning centers into communities with one or two learners, and they can scale those facilities up or down depending on the need. And I think that is, you know, and of course that stems out of necessity, because Northern Lakes College, serving the Peace Country and other areas, provides their mandate. It's not an easy mandate. Is to provide academic programming to an area that is a third of the entire province. So, you know, out of necessity, they've of course, developed that really innovative model. I think we need to encourage that. We need to see more of that. And I'm happy to really work with them and Athabasca and others to see how we can do that moving forward.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that, Minister. And now I got to ask you, as Dimitrios, and I know quite a few people with that name, and do most people call you Jimmy?
Actually, not many people do. It's not a nickname that stuck, but a very common one for people that are named Dimitrios. And I think part of that was because growing up in Calgary, in our close group of friends, there were about three other Dimitris. So one of them got Jimmy, and the rest of us were stuck with different nicknames.
Okay, cool. And I also understand, and I had been mentioned to me too by my good friend Jerry Gerasimos, if we're going to original names there, that the bicentennial is coming up. So that, and I know that's always that's a celebration, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's 200 years. It'll mark 200 years from the day that Greece became an independent country, and so. As I'm sure you know, many people of Greek descent. They're very proud of their history, their culture, their background.
Very, yeah.
And so celebrating 200 years of independence is a big deal. And in fact, we're trying to make a big deal about it all across Canada. I was very fortunate to join a group of Greek Canadians that parliamentarians from coast to coast. There's a liberal MLA and minister in New Brunswick, if I'm not mistaken. There's Nikki Ashton, the federal member of parliament. She's Greek. There's a couple other ladies in Ontario and some other liberal members of parliament. We've all come together as a bipartisan group to see what we can do from coast to coast to celebrate the upcoming bicentennial.
And I'm going to assume that just because of the amount of Greek people who call Montreal home, I got to ask, have you ever been there and had a chance to meet a lot of the Greek community in the Montreal area? Because I always like to say that Montreal is probably the biggest Greek city outside of Greece.
It probably is. I have had the opportunity, actually, just once, and very recently, though, to head out there, and I had an opportunity to meet so many great people. I think there are two ladies in the Montreal area that were elected as Liberal members of Parliament. Didn't have the opportunity to meet them when I was out there, but I have met them since, and as well many other candidates in the last election of Greek descent. So I did have an opportunity to visit Montreal and meet more of those individuals.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully, Minister, as restrictions are relaxed and whatnot, we could all get back to normal life and traveling, and maybe you could get back up there again. You never know. Thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is Minister Dimitrios Nikolaidis. He is the Minister of Advanced Education for the province of Alberta, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.